Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Monday, brought to you by Xfinity, guys. Make sure you check out Xfinity. Beyond Wi-Fi, it's X-Fi. Only from Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity. Talking about what went down yesterday, the highs and lows, you know, to start the game, I felt really good. Dan Quinn did something yesterday that he never does. And that is, we won the coin toss and he took the ball. And then we went and
which
scored.
I love, by the way. I'm with you, man.
And we went and scored. And I was like, holy, all right. Here we go.
80 yards down the field.
Here we go.
Punching, and Devontae Freeman looked good. I tweeted it out. I go, look at this. We got a run game today, you know? Look at this. Right down the field. That's the way this thing's supposed to work.
And then it went bad.
Well, then the defense had to get on the field.
Because as soon as we scored, I was like, okay, great. I'm not lying to you. I mean, I literally, if you turned, went and got a snack, went to took the restroom, came back and watched the TV, we were already down. I mean, it happened like that. And Kyler Murray, again, got into rhythm. But Dan Quinn, to his credit, trying to do something different. Because all the time we defer.
Right.
He was like, screw it. We're going to take the ball. We're going to go score. And it's exactly what we did. But what
I mean, when your offense is the better, I mean,
right.
I get the logic. You want to score and then you get the ball back in the second half. But when your defense is so god-awful, why would you want to put that unit on the field first? Go set the tone. Do some things in the run game. Be physical. They did all that. It was great. You know what I mean? That was as good a drive as you could have on the road, right?
It was.
Results in six, but then they can't sustain it.
And that's been the issue. When you go back and look at our defenses, I'll tell you guys this, if you didn't know this already. Last year, our defense wasn't great.
There were some more excuses. This year we're down Keanu Neal. Last year it was Keanu Neal, Debo. I have to tell you guys,
yeah.
It was a laundry list.
But, Mike, we're actually worse this year with those guys on the field. We were 27th in the league versus the pass last year, 25th versus the run. Guys, we're 31st in the league right now.
Well, because Alford, as bad as he was, and I drove me crazy, they moved on from him. Trufant has been, with the exception of the two, you know, gift interceptions he got from Carson Wentz, Trufant has not been good. And Isaiah Oliver, and again, I've got to go back to the personnel department and Dan Quinn, whoever had the final say in the flow chart on Isaiah Oliver, when is this potential going to become real skill on the field? I mean, Isaiah Oliver's lost. Isaiah Oliver is not good. Isaiah Oliver right now, it's only a year and a quarter into his career, but he's going to have to find the game. Find why you were so irresistible that we had to take you in the second round when you fell to us.
I think, you know, to put it quite bluntly, they benched Isaiah Oliver in the Texans game, if you weren't paying attention, during the game because he was not where he needed to be. So in that debacle that was the Texans games a few weeks ago where they put up 50 points on us, yeah, Mike, he wasn't in there, especially in the second half. So that's kind of where we are now. You go, there's two ways to look at that. You go, great, a guy's not getting it done. You should get him out of the game. Problem is the guy they brought in was no better. And so you didn't get better by taking him out. And there are learning curves that are going on right now that are huge. And when you've got your defense struggling the way ours is, it's just tough on these young guys. And, you know, it's hard to be that critical, but we're in win-now mode. We're not babying anybody. We're done babying guys. And, well, he'll be good in a few years. My blank. I need you good now. I need you good now. So,
what was that, coach?
There is no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
Well, the thing about the defense, Carl, is, you know, as we said, first half, you get that nice touchdown drive. They settle for a field goal, so it's 7-3. We get the ball back. Then the penalties kick in. You get the holding penalty. We're going down the field. We got a first down. We got a holding penalty on a Carpenter right there at midfield. Then we got to delay a game. First and 20, we got to delay a game. So, I mean, it's just boom, 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 and that's where we wind up with the punt. So that's where the offense loses the momentum. That's where you've given the momentum back to Arizona, and then they go down the field and score a touchdown.
How can your defense be worse when you've got less injuries than you had last year and you've got more of the stars that you missed out on the field from last year? How? How? I mean, you guys explained it to me. I'm trying to put everything I know into that I don't get, Mike.
Well, And I'm looking at the play-by-play from the game. And Carl, you're bringing up, look, we all know, the defense is Dan Quinn's baby, his hand-picked players, and nothing is working. So when that's not going well, I need Matt Ryan on the offense to help, you know, take care of business. We talked about that first scoring drive. Carl, Cardinals score a touchdown. We go three and out. Cardinals score a touchdown. So with the offense, as I said, there's enough blame to go around. Whenever this offense gets cooking, it's when everybody's back into softer coverage. Mm. We've got a lead, and that's when we're padding the stats and we're making it look more presentable. Now, we had the momentum. Arizona got tight, and then Matt Bryan misses the freaking extra point. But point I'm getting to is you need the same effort from the offense for four quarters. The offense, I'm just giving it to you right there. You had 2-3 and outs when you could have stemmed the bleeding, and you just let Arizona get to a lead. It was 10 at halftime, 17 through the third quarter.
Jimmy says, fellas, did you guys notice we were using a fullback in the run game yesterday? We did. He said the same thing Kyle did with this offense in the Super Bowl season. Yeah, we've been looking for a fullback for 3 years now. I mean, honestly.
And they use him in a short yardage for a touchdown. I mean, for a first down as well.
They did. So, listen, the play calling in the second half for all the crap I've given Dirk, and listen, the offense has not been what I think it should be. But they really did some things in the second half to get going and to build some momentum, and they actually executed it. But overall, it's still a work in progress to me. I mean, this thing should be running like a fine-tuned machine, and it's still not. There's still, you know, you're still hoping and fingers crossed on third downs and we're going to get it. It shouldn't be that way with all these guys.
I mean, we're talking about in between those touchdowns with the Cardinals where they kind of like start feeling they're getting them a rhythm. We got a third and two on our own 37, and Corey Peters just blows up the middle along with Gunter, and they get Matt Ryan on the ground. I mean, it's just the most inopportune moments in the first half. And the Cardinals, by the way, like you said, it was a good team for us to get right there. And then what happened? Now we've got a Titans team, which said the same thing too. They haven't been able to score points since they beat us 24-10. Now we get a Rams team that is just god-awful. Maybe we're the team that everyone gets right against.
Well,
because now you got a Goff and a Rams team has been a brutal. They've only got a three-game losing streak. First time ever in McVay's coaching career there.
Everybody's looking to catch a team at its worst moment. And the Rams are looking at us at the same way.
So it's a push then.
Same way. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's get to an NFL blitz! Hey!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
It's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. On this Falcon Monday, let's start by giving our Falcons a no balls. You had a winnable game on the road. You fought back to get in it, and you couldn't finish the deal. There are no participation trophies. We got to finish games. We've got to win football games. No balls to the Falcons, man.
No balls.
All right, let's go around the league, Mike, and start first with Lamar Jackson. Did you see what he did yesterday? Guys, he passed for 236 yards. He also had to do a double take. 19 carries, the quarterback, for 152 yards. He's the first person to ever do it.
Game balls.
Jackson will keep it off the fake. Left side, 15, 10, 5. Jackson taken down at the 1 yard line, just shy of the pylon. No, they signal touchdown. He got in, hitting the pylon. Lamar Jackson.
They tell you you're the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for 200 plus and rush for 150 plus in a game.
Yeah, they just told me out there.
What's your reaction to that? What do you think?
It's cool, I guess. I'm trying to win.
You know what? There's a lot of similarities to Mike Vick, but I think we're hoping the young man will have a better head on his shoulders, unfortunately, than Mike did when he was here with the Falcons. But he's doing the same type of stuff. They're opening up the playbook week in, week out. They're doing more stuff. I thought certainly getting Mark Ingram was a huge, perfect fit and a huge get for them in the offseason. Ravens on pace right now to break the all-time record for rushing yards in a season. You go back to when Mike was doing his thing. You had, obviously, Warwick Dunn in his prime, Mike Vick in his prime. You go back and you see the Ravens. You say, man, they're the same kind of formula right now, but a much better defense than we had under Jim Mora.
That's a good point. Let's give a no balls to Jameis Winston. He had five. Count them, five picks.
No balls.
20 seconds left to play. Winston to throw again. Throws to the end zone on the left side for Evans, and it's intercepted. It's the fifth interception of the day. This one reeled in by Bradbury.
The fumbles haven't occurred this year till today. But again, trying to make something out of nothing. And it's just a matter of know when to quit on a play.
Yeah, Bruce Arians went on to say, throw it away. He literally like put his hand on the – he put his both hands on the podium. He goes, just throw it away. So, again, the 2015 draft class, save for Todd Gurley and a few linemen, it's a disaster. We're victim to it with Vic Beasley, Marcus Mariota. They're not even sure he's going to start again for the Titans this year. And then you got Jameis. Yuck!
Let's give a game ball to Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings. I guess he heard all that chatter. He had a big day. 4 touchdowns for Cousins.
Game balls.
High formation, play action. Kirk straight drop. Pats it, fires. Caught, Diggs. Back in the end zone. Touchdown! Stephon Diggs just hit the touchdown trifecta. 3 touchdowns for Stephon Diggs. That was an 11-yard connection.
We missed Diggsy on that post at the end of the half. I thought about apologizing to him, but apparently that's not the way to go around here. So I guess my days of apologizing to people are over.
Yes, it's a very millennial Minnesota, as Kirk Cousins, for those who are not catching the drift, both Adam Thielen calling him out. Everybody, Rudolph is right-handed, of course. Diggs was ready to get traded just 2 weeks ago, and now it's all kumbaya. So if they can get Kirk Cousins to not suck, the Vikings could be a team that could host the NFC Championship game.
Cowboys lose to the Jets?
No balls.
Darnold in the shotgun. Takes the snap, looks right, pops one right, caught at the goal line by Griffin. Reaches it across the goal line. He's in for a Jet touchdown.
Yeah, Darnold, man, living up to the hype. He had special pads made for him by a manufacturer in New Jersey to protect his spleen, because your spleen gets all jacked up when you've got mononucleosis, which he was coming back from. So he had a special pad that apparently was lightweight but gave him some protection. The Cowboys now.
Did I tell you Jackie gave me mono? Almost
was
died.
It Jackie?
Yeah, it was Jackie. I'll never forget.
I told you Tracy Childs had it in our neighborhood.
Yeah,
I would walk past your house.
You know what? If I saw her today, I'd still be upset. Go ahead, Mike.
So Darnold finally doing what they thought he could do. Carpenter's a guy that, again, he's a bit of a head case, but, man, that was a beautiful play. And then the Cowboys. You know, they could not throw the ball effectively. This is why Dak, after that red-hot start, we're all going, pay that man. Now, not so much. And then you've got Jason Garrett. A lot of people in Dallas are saying, and there was a report out of the Dallas, I think one of the reporters for TV in Dallas says, Jerry Jones looks shooken up in that Cowboys locker room. They've got to get things right, man. Their line is jacked up. Lael Collins is out. They've also they had 2 linemen go down in that game. They're out. So that's a problem. Same thing the Rams are dealing with, some inconsistent line play.
Let's give a couple of game balls and no balls out here. It is our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Coming up, more about UGA guys and our Falcons here on Dukes and Bell. Let me give Baker Mayfield a no balls, Mike. All the hype, all the yapping. He continues to make mistakes. It's called protecting the football.
No balls.
The refs are never an excuse, and I'll probably get fined for saying this, but it's pretty bad today. I mean, the guy's squared up with him, running at him. He's lowering his head into Jarvis. What's he supposed to do? Avoid him? I mean, this isn't bullfighting. I mean, I don't know. It takes me off.
Everybody hates you, Baker, because you sound so snarky. You know, so now you just gotta shut up and get back to work. Oh, man. It's funny to see. And if you didn't watch the game, Russell Wilson, unbelievable comeback. If you weren't watching this guy this year, just unbelievable stuff. Now they're saying in his 8th season in the NFL, he's certainly got some juice. You could say Christian McCaffrey, certainly. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to be in that mix. But how about Russell Wilson getting some love in the first quarter of the season and more for MVP?
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Dress. Dress is the word, Mike. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right now. D-R-E-S-S.
You're going to put a dress on him? That's always the line about the quarterback rules. Dress goes to 72881. If you see a phone number you don't recognize, we would recommend you answer the phone. It could be our company with $1,000 for your national signing bonus contest. Text dress to 72881.
All right. We said he wasn't dynamic, or at least that's what the perception is around the country. And it's why a lot of people didn't believe in Jake Fromm. The Dogs asked him to do something they hadn't asked him to do. We'll talk about it next.
Gabe Carl Mono.
Coming up at 4, we'll get in-depth into what went down with the Dogs. But I do want to present something to you guys in regards to that here in just a second. It is Dukes and Bell. On a Monday, it is a Falcon Monday, and we are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com.
It's funny, we're just talking to the NFL Blitz earlier there, guys, about Jason Garrett and how bad the Cowboys look, if you missed our PriorityMen'sMedical.com NFL Blitz. But a couple things. Jerry Jones took away play calling from him after the 13th season. Cowboys went 8-8. I had to go back and look it up. Bill Callahan. It was Callahan. Callahan, now Redskins interim coach, by the way. Boy, is that a disaster.
It is.
But let me just throw this at you. When you take over the defense like Dan Quinn, is there just no way to extricate Dan from that role? Is it just where he'd lose the locker room or players would now? Because you got Ulbrich, you got Raheem Morris, who's now, I know he's a wide receiver coach, but his background is in defense. Do you take one of the position coaches and elevate him to D.C.? Do you let Sutton do it because he's been in D.C. in the NFL?
When I asked this question a few weeks ago about where would you go and people trusting the assistants, Mike, I think this is above Dan Quinn now. Meaning Quinn's not going to make this decision on his own. This has to come from Arthur Blank, as you just alluded when Jerry did it to Garrett. It's got to come from the owner to say, we're not performing at a level in which, you know, we consider to be what we expected. Therefore, I'm taking your duties away from play calling, and we're going to hand those over to somebody. Here's the issue with that. Who does Arthur trust to tell him who that guy is?
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you know, Arthur Blank, 77. Didn't Jerry Jones just hit his 77th birthday, I believe, as well?
Yeah, this weekend.
So I don't know. I know this offense can still score. I know the season is still salvageable. We laid it out for you guys. We have some scenarios where the offense, unfortunately, it's almost like a lawnmower. It takes about five tries to get it cranked up. This week, we actually scored on an 80-yard drive to start the game, and then we went into a shell. And then eventually they got it back on track, but it was too little too late. So I still think, though, defensively, we're just a disaster. We're just getting behind the eight ball left and right. I don't have to give you guys the story. We've been talking about it for all these 5 weeks now, 6 weeks. I think if Arthur wants to also send a message to the fan base, you know, if you feel that, you know, you don't want to see Dan get fired, and we don't want to see anyone get fired in this world, guys. These guys also get paid millions of dollars to do this job. You know, but I mean, if you're not doing the job, someone else is going to do it. And coaches know that when they get hired. Guys get fired every year in the NFL, every month in the NBA, right? In baseball. So I'm just trying to come up with a solution here. We all know that Dan Quinn can't coach this defense. That is indisputable. He's picked the bad guys, the wrong guys, whatever it is, it doesn't work. So what are we going to do about it? You're going to let it continue to fester? You're going to let us continue to roll this out? Vic Beasley and Tack getting no heat on the quarterback? You know, young corners, now I like the promise of Sheffield. We liked him when he got drafted in the fourth round. Isaiah Oliver, you guys had to get him. He doesn't know what he's doing right now. How are we going to salvage this? I mean, to me, you can't keep banging your head against the wall, Carl, and expect a different result.
D. Orlando Ledbetter tweets out, Falcons pass rush remains tied for last, shocker, in the league with Miami, 5 sacks. Again, I tweeted this last week, Miami's in rebuild, okay? And they've got as many sacks as we do. So I tweeted back to D-Led and said, no way. And a guy named Vern hit us up and he said, kids all over Atlanta, guys, are forcing their parents to have the dreaded talk. Daddy and Mommy, what's a pass rush? I heard Johnny's dad talk about it. Well, son, it's when a defensive lineman really hates a quarterback and he lets nothing stop him from getting to him. That's a pass rush.
Yeah, you know, like you saw from the Arizona Cardinals at times yesterday.
Vern, thank you for that. Mike, to answer this about where do we go and how do we answer, you know, where we're going, this is the thing, the reason about the firing part of it is this is his background. This is how he built his career. This is why we hired him.
Right.
Okay? And when you go, when you make a decision, there's only two ways to go as an owner. You're going to hire an offensive-minded guy or you're going to hire a defensive-minded guy.
Right.
The Rams hired an offensive-minded, young mind in Sean McVay, who's next up for us, and McVay did the smartest thing he could ever do. He went and got the most experienced defensive guy he could and said, you handle that, Wade Phillips.
Right.
I'll handle the offense. You handle that. So here's the maddening part about this and why this is such a crazy thing with Dan Quinn is this is supposed to be his area of expertise, and he's failing. This is supposed to be where he is the most brilliant, and he is failing. So that is the part where you go, well, how do you put that all together? Because if I hire you and you're a tech specialist and you come to my home, but yet you can't fix my computers, I don't need you.
Yeah, meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan hired a guy who is a linebackers coach with the Jaguars. He's been with him now since 17, Robert Saleh. And they're doing pretty good things. Now, getting a guy like Bosa in your first round is going to help if your pass rush. See, that's the thing. We have not had a real bona fide pass rusher, a real go-get-em guy until getting back to the Predator when John Abraham was here.
Mike, let's talk about this for a minute real quick because Bo brought this up. Everybody's talking about Bosa, and he's been unbelievable. He was the number two pick overall. But they also have
– Jermaine Bruckner?
Buckner. They also have Solomon Thomas. Thomas was the number three overall pick. Buckner was the number seven. And then they got a guy named Eric Armstead, who, oh, by the way, was the 17th overall pick. You got four first-rounders on the D-line. And I only say that, Mike, because when we were talking about this and Bo brought it up, that D-line and the defense for 49ers are getting after it, We had a fifth-round pick who's playing like a first-rounder in Grady, and now that's out of the window. I don't care what round you picked him in. He's playing like an all-pro, okay? Right. Who else on this defense is?
Yeah, we've talked about Debo, but again, you've got two first-round picks. You've got a top-10 pick in Vic Beasley. We don't have to go down that road. You've seen that before. And Tack McKinley is close, but no cigar. You know, so how about the job that John Lynch has done? Remember, everyone said, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's never been a GM before. Well, pretty good. You know, they put together a heck of a team in a short, relatively short period of time. They just shut down the Rams. They're 5-0. You know, they look like they got things cooking, you know, and Shanahan's doing it with Garoppolo as his QB. You know, I mean, it's so hard to watch the 49ers because you see so many similarities from the 16 season and the good parts of the 15 season, you know, with the tight end play with Kittle, how they use the running backs, how they dial up the right guy, whether it's Breida or Coleman. You know, it's just so exasperating. So that's why I put it to you to start the segment. I mean, could you cut Dan Quinn off at the knees? Does he lose the locker room? I mean, how else are you going to do it? Does Arthur Blank talk to another owner and say, what do I do here? Because remember, Arthur talked about that, the learning curve for owners, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of using other owners as sounding boards for what do you do in this scenario? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. But what I do know is this defense is god-awful.
It's historically bad. Right now, we're giving up yards, points, everything. So, and I said this a few weeks ago when we talked about this, when maybe we weren't as convinced because you kept thinking, all right, things are going to turn around. Does Dan Quinn have the courage? Because that's what it would take to say, you know what, this current system that we have is not working, so we're going to shake things up. Yeah, I'm still the head coach, but now I'm letting Jeff call the plays. Now I'm letting Bob have more input.
Right.
And I'm going to be the overseer that I need to be. And as a fan, I wouldn't have a problem with that. The problem with it is, Mike, when you admit those things and it continues to go bad, you know, it doesn't help Dan Quinn. If Dan Quinn somehow turns his defense around and let's say, you know, we do go on a 5-6-7 game run, whatever it might be, then he can say, look at the progress. And I think that's why his ego won't allow him to make that move.
We got the Rams, Seattle, then we go down to New Orleans. That's after the bye week. So we got two more weeks. You know, traditionally, you know, I wrote about this on a blog a few weeks back, when owners move on from a guy, they generally go into the week with the bye so they can, you know, make that transformation occur. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't want to see anyone get fired. I just want to see people do their jobs. You know, the worst part of this, and you and I were talking about this off the air, this is Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. We got this, all these great offensive weapons. So you got Matt and Julio in their prime. You know, we've seen teams' windows come and go, and you know it as a fan. That team, they missed their window.
Missed their window.
And that's what people are saying about us now. 16 was the high watermark, and it's just diminishing returns ever since.
Yeah, defense has not been better since 16. It should have gotten progressively better with the youth. And the draft picks,
17,
but it hasn't. It hasn't.
Hey, 17, our defense was, you know, middle of the pack, top 10, took a big leap statistically, and then that guy apparently forgot how to coach, and we lost our compass, and then Dan had to take it over.
All right, I want to ask you this about Jake Fromm. We're going to get more to this at 4 o'clock as part of our dog report. Dogs lose to South Carolina. What? Yep. Jake Fromm was asked to do something, Mike, that this team and this coaching staff hasn't asked him to do a whole lot. He threw the ball 51 times in the game. And when you start talking about guys that are doing that around the country, now I'm talking about the Joe Burrows, the Jalen Hurts, okay, the Justin Fields. No, I'm not comparing. What I'm telling you is there is a different level of expectation when you ask your quarterback to throw it 51 times and go win a football game. Jake, go look at the numbers. They've never asked him to throw that ball like that. And he couldn't deliver, which is why some people around the country say he's not as dynamic as we think he is. He's maybe not as good. Because when you have to throw the ball like that, Mike, coaching staff is asking you to win a game, and he didn't do it on Saturday. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Quick reminder for you guys, the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament is coming up October 23rd, 4 until 7. We'll be out there. Everybody will be out there. Andy and Randy, John Freaky, Hugh Douglas. It'll be a lot of fun, plus celebrities like Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Massaqua, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, and more. Go to our events page to sign up, 929thegame.com. Mike Conti next.
Now I got good news for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
Dan Quinn is having a teleconference today. You'll hear him coming up at 6 with Dave Archer, as we normally do on Mondays with the coaches show following up a game. But we'll let you hear some of the things, or at least talk about some of the things that Dan Quinn is talking about with our football team coming up. Right now, it's Mike Conti, who's in studio. In case you missed it, how was your weekend, first and foremost?
Good. How was yours?
Good, man. Great weather. I love the weather this weekend.
Beautiful.
You know, I know Sunday was kind of crappy and rained a little bit, but Saturday was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, hopefully, Hopefully it stays this way.
Yeah. I went up to the mountains, like Dahlonega, on Saturday. It was one of those open up the sunroof and just drive type days.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then I was
at the fall foliage and all that stuff?
No, not yet. Okay. Leaves haven't changed up there. But I was at some winery, and I hear outside, Georgia lost? What?
Yeah.
What? Like, I just skipped the game because I thought, all right, no problem. Multi-touchdown win, right?
What
do you mean they lost?
DVR'd it. I had the same experience. We were at Road Atlanta. We ran into some guys drinking Hey Man. They had the TV on at their camper. I 17-10 at that point. They hadn't tied the game. I was incredulous.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I knew it was close. We had done brunch somewhere, and we were going to another winery, and I knew it was close.
Mike, first of all, that sounds like a fun day.
No, it was a great day. Great day. And got home in time for the Penn State-Iowa game. It was like the perfect day. Slept 10 hours, like the perfect day.
Nice.
And it's great because in Atlanta, you're only an hour away from that. It's awesome. So we're leaving brunch, and I saw a tweet that Georgia was in overtime, but South Carolina missed a field goal, and Georgia was getting the ball. I'm like, okay, well, good. It's over. It's over, right? And then you get to the next one. They lost? What?
I know.
How did that happen? Unbelievable. But like I was telling John Fricke this morning, Georgia, I don't think it makes a difference whether they won that game or lost. Right now you have an undefeated Big Ten leader, an undefeated Big 12 leader, and you have Clemson in the ACC. If the champions of those three conferences run the table, the only way Georgia was going to get in anyway
SEC champion.
Is to win the SEC championship.
Yep.
So I don't really think this changes a whole lot, but I know people are upset.
Yeah.
And they have every right to be. It's okay.
And Mike, I think Mike Conte, by the way, in case you missed it, but I think that's the message Kirby's preaching, and he has to moving forward.
Yeah. Well, he said it today.
Yeah, absolutely.
They even talked about it. All their goals are right there.
They're still intact. So that's what
he's got
to
no
preach.
Margin for error now.
And that's the thing.
I even kind of think he does. Let's say they lose to Florida.
Okay.
Okay. But they still end up winning the division. And they go to Atlanta and they beat Alabama.
You still think they're in with a two-loss team?
LSU did it years ago. It's plausible.
Well, different system. No two-loss team has ever made the playoff, but no SEC champion has ever
missed it.
Not made the playoff.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm overly optimistic, but now if you have two losses, I don't know if you win your division. That's the problem. You got to deal with Missouri.
Right.
Florida would have to lose.
Florida's got the loss to LSU. Three,
but they'd have
the
to lose two more. So in that respect, you might not have a margin for error. But I'm just Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows today.
No, man. I get
lousy weekend that we've had. I think Georgia's just fine, but that's just me. Now, you want to talk about misleading headlines, because before I went up to the mountains on Saturday, I see this headline that there is a guy that just ran a marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds.
Hmm.
Like, what are you talking about? Running a marathon in 2 hours?
Yeah.
26.2 miles. World record. And then I find out that the IAAF, the International Athletics Federation, or whoever keeps the world records, is not acknowledging this as a world record.
Uh-huh.
So what happened? So they set up a course in Vienna where I guess it was a lot more downhill than level or uphill.
Okay.
And they were trying to basically doctor the course to make it as easy as possible for this guy to go under 2 hours. Now, still, you would think there's still got to be a challenge in that, especially when you find out that he's running the race alone.
Right.
He's not running against anyone. It's just him. Then I find out that he's got these guys who every mile will tag in and run a mile with him at a 4.5-minute pace.
Right.
So he has, like, when you play golf, you have a marker, you know, who's going to hit a 3-wood off the tee and kind of help you, you know, see where you're going to spot your drive. They do that on the PGA Tour if you go off as a single. They let you play with a marker. Okay, so now he's got an ideal course. He's got pacers. And then they have this truck in front of him that looked like something out of, like, RoboCop, where they had a laser pointing off the truck down to the ground where this guy was supposed to run on the laser line, because this way it would allow him to take the shortest route on the
apex
course
of every turn.
The apex of every turn, so he wasn't – no extra steps, basically. Because when you're trying to go under 2 hours –
so this sounds like this is a lot of BS. There's too much extenuating circumstances on this.
Well, Mike, yes. I'm going to come out and say that I think this is this is, I'm not going to use that phrase, because it's an amazing accomplishment.
But you started Staten Island for the New York City Marathon, and you knock off under 2 hours. That's amazing. They seem like they put everything in this guy's way. Carlson, we can do this.
Great. You can run downhill in Vienna for 2 hours with a laser telling him where to run. And
a truck breaking the wind.
Right. Well, and that's another thing, too. I mean, this thing looked like a tank, like one of those armored personnel carriers. So maybe it was breaking the wind. I don't know. That's cutting the wind.
That's not flatulence. That's actually aerodynamics. A tow, if you will, in NASCAR or Formula One.
A draft.
Yes,
a draft. Getting a draft or a tow.
Thank you for correcting me.
All right. So this is
Hold on. I'm listening to Carl. Mike Conner just said there's a giant fart machine in Austria. They got lasers and everything.
I mean, there might be a giant machine in Austria that does that. I don't know, but it doesn't pertain to this story. So what do you guys think? I think this is not worthy of record consideration. What do you think?
I don't either. You know, when you start talking about world records being broken, you want it done as fairly as possible on the up and up. These additional tools of enhancement he had, to me, just makes it seem like he was cheating.
Years ago, Mike, I was down in Key West when Diana Nyad finally made it from Havana to Key West. Yeah. And I came across, I'd rented a boat that day, and my wife and I nearly barreled into the flotilla. And all those women, get away from Diana! And she was swimming. They had a cage to keep the sharks away from her.
Yeah.
And they said the current, and then of course it's like one of the greatest accomplishments in human history. And then there's some swimming sanctuary body goes, well, I'm not sure about that because of all the things you just laid out. There are different things that helped her to get there and do
well.
That.
And didn't she get to like stop and hold on to a boat to take some nutrition or something?
I'm not sure.
Like
But somebody was throwing cold water on that. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Now I do want you to visualize this though, because if you do cardio at the gym. Just to put in perspective what this guy did, imagine putting the treadmill on 13.1.
Jeez.
Okay?
I have troubles with 4.
Right.
I'm 3.5.
Put it on 13.1. Now, no incline or anything, but just put it on 13.1 and stay on it for 2 hours without stopping.
Oh, that's impossible.
Okay. By the way, like water breaks, uh-uh. Like what happened was these pacers, they'd run water to him. So he didn't even, like, run off to the side to grab water off a table. And then, you know, if you need a bathroom break, it's just not possible.
Right.
Like, you're going to have to run through it. So, anyhow.
That's crazy.
Misleading headlines in sports. It does happen.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you've talked about it yet or not. Did you see the Pope tweeted at the Saints?
Yes.
The New Orleans Saints?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess
you got time. You got it in there.
Well, Pope Francis yesterday tweeted, today we give thanks to the Lord for our new hashtag Saints. Hashtag Saints spits out that fleur-de-lis logo that the New Orleans Saints have.
Right.
Everyone in New Orleans thought he was tweeting about the New Orleans Saints.
So I guess some famous folks got canonized, became saints. That's what he was referring to, but it gets you to New Orleans Saints. So even Carl, when things are going bad, even the Pope is on the Saints side.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, that's not what I want to see. Mike Conti, great stuff. Interesting. Hey, don't believe all those headlines you read, man. Coming up. What went wrong with the Dogs? And the one thing they don't get fixed, they're not going to win it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.